good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsese. Thank you for joining us on this Saturday, May 4th, another wet Saturday. Three Saturdays in a row. Proud to have in studio my good friend, Steve Goldman. Steve, how we doing, bud?
This November weather is beautiful, isn't it?
Exactly. It's so nice to have a moderate to mild or mild to moderate winter, only to be ruined by a wet and disgusting spring.
Right. It's basically the same weather we've been having for 6 months.
Exactly. It's like we just can't get the break. I mean, it's three.
Yeah.
And of course, with the PGA coming up, it's just, you know, they can't seem to get a break.
It's amazing how Beth Page seems to host these major championships and cannot avoid any weather problems. It's remarkable. Well, they still have 2 weeks until it starts. So or a week and a half until it starts. So,
yep.
Hopefully things will improve by then.
We need Mother Nature to put on that yellow thing that usually is in the sky and start drying things out.
Yes, that would it certainly would be nice.
But as I always look forward to, what do you got in the news and notes category this morning?
Oh man, I've got so much stuff. I had to drop some stuff on the cutting room floor. We've got so much stuff this week. So just a quick mention about the PGA. You know, we try to avoid, you know, talk about the PGA Tour because, you know, they don't need us to promote them. But I found the leaderboard very interesting after 36 holes. They're at Quail Hollow, which, by the way, is hosting the President's Cup in 2 years, which I didn't realize until I looked that up. You know, it's a decent field. You've got 5 out of the top 10 players there. You got 12 out of the top 30. So it's not a terrible field. It's a good, solid PGA Tour field. But who's on top? Jason Duffner, who we haven't had a sighting for, and I can't remember how long since we've seen him. And we wouldn't actually call him a friend of the program because he hasn't actually been on, but it's somebody we've been keeping our eye on since the 2013 Walker Cup.
Yep.
And that's Max Homa, who's in his second year of being on the PGA Tour. 2 years ago, he qualified for the tour. I think he only made one cut during the entire season, went back to the web.com tour, qualified again, and he's one shot. He's in second place, one shot back at 10 under par. And you think, you know, when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, you know, it's a lousy field. Okay, this is great. You know, good for him that he's playing well. And then who's right behind him? Well, not right behind him. 4 shots back in fourth place, you have Rory McIlroy and Patrick Reed. And then another shot back, you've got Justin Rose, Shaven Power, Jason Day, and Pat Perez. So, you know, these guys are beating some quality golfers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Joel Dahlman made his name for calling out that guy for cheating.
Yes.
I forget the gentleman's name, but he certainly made the news. And, of course, everybody loved the fact that he was wearing a Fisher's Island hat when he did it. So so props to him for that, repping the Met.
And he's tied with Max Homa in second place. They're one shot back. So good for them. But what I found most noteworthy about the results at Quail Hollow, of course, we have to have our obligatory Phil note. So Phil had a rough day yesterday, shot 76. He was 7 over through 11. So he won't be playing the weekend. So not exactly what you would say being in form leading up to the PGA.
No. I hope he snaps those speed sticks in half and learns how to swing a driver again.
Yes, it would be nice. But the most noteworthy person that I found that missed the cut was one Cameron Champ, who we assumed was going to be the next big thing. He came out like gangbusters in the 2008 at the beginning of the 2018-19 season. He wins Sanderson Farms. He moves to fifth in the FedEx Cup, makes a few more cuts, gets a T28 at Pebble Beach. So he's 11th in the FedEx Cup standings, and that's 3 months ago. He hasn't made a cut in three. Not only has he not made a cut in 3 months, he hasn't broken 70 in 3 months.
It's unbelievable.
Which is crazy. 5 missed cuts. He had a withdrawal at the Players with back spasms. 9 straight rounds of 70 or worse. And now he's number 36 in the FedEx Cup standings. I mean, it's this game. We know how crazy this game is, but
that's crazy.
That is insane.
Yep.
How you could play that well. And now, I mean, to me, the fact that he had back spasms at the Players, it tells me that something's not right with him. That that whatever he's fighting, he's not winning.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have to accept the fact that these are going to be the problems with these power players.
Yes.
That their bodies are not, you know, all these kids who are growing up wanting to be the next, you know, DJ or Brooks Koepka or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, there's a consequence for that.
Yes, absolutely. So moving on, we had a friend of the program, Annie Park, had a good week and a bad week. She had a great weekend down in Los Angeles with a great finish. And then they go to Northern California to Daly City and unfortunately missed the cut by a stroke. She had a par five as her last hole and unfortunately couldn't birdie. So we're a little sad that we won't be seeing Annie Park on the weekend.
Yep.
But on the other hand, speaking of the Met, we had the PGA Professional Championship this week, which means the top 20 qualify for the PGA Championship coming in Bethpage, also in the Met. And we had five of the 20 golfers that qualified from the Met. Unfortunately, another friend of the program, Jinx, our friend Matt Dobbins, unfortunately had a 76 in his last round, had to be in a playoff, and unfortunately did not qualify through the 6-for-2 playoff. So we won't be seeing Matt Dobbins. But as you pointed out this morning in our pre-show, not only did five players qualify, but they're all in the top. They were all in the top 10, including medalist Alex Beach from Westchester. You have Danny Ballin from Fresh Meadow. You have future friend of the program, Jason Caron from Mill River, Brian Mackey from Hollowbrook, and Rob LeBritz for his sixth time qualifying for the PGA Championship. Rob LeBritz is from Glen Arbor Golf Club. So, kudos to those five.
For the record, I think the PGA Championship has a 25% cap on the Met PGA professionals who can qualify for the PGA, but it's amazing.
I mean, we know how stacked the Met is. I mean, how many great golf courses there is, and now you can see how many great playing professionals there are at these golf courses, which is fantastic. And speaking of playing professionals, our last nugget and our great friend of the program and most recent guest, Kelly Brook, who of course is the Baroness of Bethpage, as I'm going to call her. So doing great things at Bethpage. But this week, unfortunately, Kelly Brook now has to change her plan. So if you were going to the Bethpage for the PGA Championship, unfortunately, you won't be seeing Kelly Brook there. So you'd be like, what?
Why not? How is that possible?
How is the director of golf at Bethpage not going to be at the PGA Championship?
Well, that must be a mistake.
I think you'll find this to be a good excuse, because this week in New Jersey at Glenbrook Country Club, Kelly Brook qualified for the second annual U.S. Senior Women's Open, which will be at Pine Needles in North Carolina. And unfortunately, when is the U.S. Senior Women's Open? The same weekend as the PGA Championship. So I think we could cut Kelly a little slack for not being at Bethpage, because last year Kelly tried to qualify for the championship and she lost out in a playoff. So this year, congratulations to Kelly. She's going to Pine Needles and she will be teeing it up at the U.S. Senior Women's Open. So we couldn't be more happy for that accomplishment, and we're looking forward to seeing her success in a couple of weeks.
Yep, and we hope that she brings home the championship so we could have future champion of the program on the program.
Ooh, that's another category.
Another category.
Wow.
All right, that's it for the news and notes. As always,
I need a break.
Steve brings the fire here on the news and notes section. We'll be back with the superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club, Tom Kaplan. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891, and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
And we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Steve. And on the line is North Hempstead Country Club Superintendent Tom Kaplan. Tom, how are we doing this morning?
Doing good. You know, thankfully, we might be gray and cloudy out there and a little bit cooler than normal, but the golfers are out on the golf course, which is a good thing.
That's
the past few weeks.
It's down on the South Shore. It's another rainy. We got a bit of rain this morning. So it's a third weekend in a row we've sort of been our spirits have been dampened, no pun intended, or pun intended. But
That was definitely intended.
That was definitely intended. Tommy, we got a lot to cover because then I want to get right to it. We have a number of different issues, but before we get to the National Golf Day, the state legislature and the tax assessments, I got to give you props for your boy Tiger for winning his 15th major. I know you're a big fan, and I think it's definitely good for golf, and it's a great story for golf, and you don't have to be a Tiger fan to appreciate his genius, but I know that you've always been a big fan, so congratulations to you on Tiger winning his 15th.
Yeah, it was really amazing to watch, you know, just as a golf fan in general, you know, and having the luxury of being able to watch these generational players like Michael Jordan and, you know, I mean, I go back to Michael Jordan, and I even think Deion Sanders, you know, in the NFL was
sure.
a generational player, and, you know, you see what Tiger Woods was able to come back and do. You know, it was really a special thing for golf, and I think what was really great about it was, you know, they had the PGA made a great initiative, you know, to bring the PGA Championship earlier in the season, to put it between, you know, the Masters and the U.S. Open, and it really hadn't picked up much momentum. It seemed like it was kind of in the background of, you know, of the golf calendar. And, you know, to then see Tiger win and for the buzz to start with the PGA Championship and, you know, him coming in, his yacht coming in somewhere on the Sound, you know, and seeing that in the paper and now, you know, with it coming to Bethpage, I mean, you know, just great for golf in general, you know. I mean, sure. I know, you know, Tiger's been through a lot, you know, in his life, you know, and you know, and people in our country like to give people second chances and the benefit of the doubt that they can rebound. And I guess I'm one of those people because, you know, it was special. And it was special, too, to be able to sit with, like, you know, I have a younger son, and it was be able to sit with him, you know, and, you know, I've showed him tapes of Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan, but to actually sit and to watch something and to show, you know, what Tiger was able to do, I mean, on the 16th hole and, you know, walking up 18, it's just great for the sport, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, it was a special moment, especially with his kids, not only with your kids, but his kids. And but I don't know if you saw, and I'm sure you have, the video of him walking to the Golf TV celebration. Didn't look very good. It wasn't a very fluid walk. It was a very aged walk. A little concerned about walking around the terrain at Bethpage, which you as well know, not an easy walk. I mean, not the toughest walk, but not an easy walk. You know, coming into this championship doesn't bode well for him.
Well, I have to say, you know, I've had the fortune of being able to walk Augusta National.
Yeah.
Not play it. It's on the bucket list, you know, and I'll hold out forever that I'll be able to get out there and play it. But, you know, being able to go down there, walk it, see the golf course, Augusta is one tough walk, you know, and then, but seeing Bethpage and having played Bethpage, it certainly, is, right on par with, you know, with Augusta, if not, a more challenging walk. So, I don't know what the condition of Tiger, you know, Tiger's health is, you know, with the back and seeing some of the videos, it does look a little bit discerning, but, you know what? He's going to show up on that first tee on Thursday. Buzz is going to be there all week, and you know, it's just a great time for golf, and in general, and a great time for golf in the Met area. You know, like you said, and I think that's what's great about the PGA Championship coming to Bethpage. Is you guys in the beginning of your show were talking about these PGA pros from the Met area that qualified, and you know how neat is that for golfers to take lessons from these pros, from members at these clubs, to be able to actually go out to Bethpage and to watch their club professional playing a major championship. I really think that's something special in the you know, in the week to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of Tiger, who's going to be eventually in D.C., maybe he can write some, when he gets his medal from Donald Trump, maybe he can write some new legislation while he's there, because there's a lot of stuff going on a local level, on a national level. I guess we should start with the National Golf Day. I know it's important to be there. You've always had boots on the ground. I know Big Country, a.k.a. Joe Gardner, was there doing his good work. How important is it not only for you to be there, but for golfers in general to understand why you're there and what can they do to help you guys help us?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a great question, you know, and it's a great cause that the Golf Course Superintendent Association puts on, you know, along with the PGA and, you know, just the golfer awareness on a, you know, on a legislative level, being able to go to Washington, D.C. and talk about the importance of golf in our economy and the, you know, over $84 billion impact it has on the nation's economy, you know, on a yearly basis. You know, it's just a really good effort. You know, it does not get a lot of the publicity that you hope that it would get on a national news level. But you know, in the golf course community, you know, it's been a great initiative, and because there are a lot of issues that, you know, that we have started to deal with on a national level and a state level, but the importance of golf and the green space that golf courses provide throughout the country and the special place that they have in the history of the United States, you know, are something that cannot that cannot be taken for granted or fall by the wayside.
Our guest this morning is Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association board member and superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club, Tom Kaplan. Tom, how challenging is it from a publicity standpoint and, of course, just from your own standpoint to manage the balance between trying to maintain a golf course and also factoring in the environmental concerns, especially when you're being pulled in so many different directions?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just, obviously, I think when you become emotionally invested in, in your profession, you know, like, I mean, I can honestly say that, you know, I am and always thinking that, you know, look, I have a job to do, but it's a job that I love. And so, I want to advocate on behalf of, you know, what I do and for the betterment of golf courses and the games. You know, there definitely is a balance. It does take place. And, you know, what's great about, social media and what's great about the world that we live in now is that communication is so accessible in our hands. You know, I mean, it can be detrimental at times and certainly take away from, our free time and things. But it also can be a tremendous tool to be able to reach out to people, to demonstrate, the significance of what we do and what we're trying to do. But you're right. You know, there is a balancing act between, managing your golf course and but then also, too, at the same time, trying to, advocate for what you believe is right in terms of your profession.
Before we get to the state level, because this is a multi-level, initiative we have going on here, but let's take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill level golfers, from our MP18 family featuring three different models designed for the better player to our JPX family featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
We're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony. He's Steven. On the line is the director or the, excuse me, the North Hempstead Country Club Superintendent, Tom Kaplan. Been a little bit difficult go for you guys in terms of, like what Steve was saying, with dealing with the perception of things and what they've been trying to ban. Where are you guys at in this fight? And, you know, what kind of update can you give us?
Yeah, sure. You know, I just want to Just to back up for a second, you know, I mean, you know, from a broader scale, so this really stems down from a national level to a state level, but from a national level, when you go to something like a National Golf Day, you know, people might wonder, well, what do people go, PGA professionals and superintendents go to the national level and talk about, you know, and it's really things on a large scale that are affecting the golf economy, you know, whether it be, like you say, bans on certain chemicals, misnomers that are out there about certain chemicals, labor issues that are facing everybody and, you know, not just the golf course sector, but even agriculture in general, tax issues, for example. Those are the initiatives that really you go to and you try to reach out to your state senators and your state, House Assembly members, you know, that are in Washington, and to make them aware of this and to make them try to understand the importance of golf. And, you know, so then that really trickles down to a state level. And, hey, you know, we've been in a, it's been a definitely a tough climate that we're in right now for golf, because there are a lot of misnomers out there. You know, there is a, there's a great environmental agenda that is being put in place by the, you know, by state legislatures. And, you know, as a whole, you know, there's not one person that, you know, that is involved in working with the environment that does not want to see environmental conservation, you know, in environmental safety for human, for human consumption, for children, be at the forefront of what we do, you know, in the environment. But at the same time, too, there also needs to be a balance between, you know, what is, you know, perception and what is reality, you know, and what does actual science tell us? And, you know, and where is that line? And, you know, can we get people to listen and to buy into the science, you know, behind some of these issues that we're dealing with? Issues like fertilizer use, issues like some of the chemicals that we apply, you know, issues like water use and water consumption. You know, these are things that we, you know, that we are now dealing with on a daily basis, you know, and golf courses trying to get looked at as an environmental sink, when in fact, you know, we are really a, you know, a prized green space, you know, for the environment. And that's really where the stewardship and the advocacy comes into play.
So Tom Kaplan, superintendent of North Hempstead Country Club. So speaking of one of those chemicals, and pardon my ignorance for the pronunciation, but New York recently banned the pesticide chlorpyrifos. And I know that that has an impact on how you're going to maintain the golf course. So how does that impact your ability to maintain a golf course?
Well, you know, just in general terms, you know, it is a, you know, it was an, you know, it was an insecticide that was used more heavily in agriculture, you know, and that's where I really, you know, where I really have some compassion is, you know, in agriculture, you know, it's a chemical that's very important for crop and food production. And, you know, it's like anything else. I mean, there's, you know, there are health risks involved in, you know, any chemical that we have, you know, in a can of Coca-Cola that you drink, you know, there's carcinogens in there. You know, and that's the same way with chemicals, you know, but we have, you know, an environmental protection agency. And then in New York State, we have a Department of Environmental Conservation that really studies these chemicals and will allow them to be used or not be used in New York State. So from, you know, from a turf perspective, you know, losing a chemical like this, yes, does it hurt because there's certain insects that we target with this chemical? Absolutely. Is it our job to be able to adjust and to figure out better ways to treat and to scout and to use, you know, what's termed as best management practices to deal with the loss of the chemical? Yes. But I think the most important thing, you know, for people to understand is it's a very dangerous precedent, you know, that is starting to be set in New York State with state legislatures in terms of we have a Department of Environmental Conservation that studies these, that studies products, that studies these things that then allows them to be used. And in fact, Long Island has a bunch of chemicals that cannot be used that are used throughout the rest of the state because of our water tables and groundwater. We accept that. But the state legislatures now have taken it on themselves to turn around and to try and push bills through, rejecting science. You know, and that's a dangerous precedent to be set, because why would we want to have a department like the DEC in place with very smart, knowledgeable people that have conservation and groundwater protection and all these things in place? You know, why would we have that if state legislatures are just going to bypass the work that these people do and push their own agendas?
Tom, how frustrating is it when the people that are making these decisions are taking things off the table, but yet offer no hand in a solution to this or alternative?
Yeah, well, it is very, you know, it is very frustrating. You know, the most frustrating part about it is, you know, the unwillingness of politicians to want to have some sort of conversation. You know, listen, New York State's been at the forefront, you know, from an agriculture and a golf course perspective in terms of, you know, what we've done with environmental conservation, developing the New York State Best Management Practices, which most recently has become a New York Golf Foundation, which is a topic for, a whole nother day, to promote environmental sustainability and conservation. And, you know, these efforts are efforts that we make, to protect all forces, but also to show, that there can be a balance and a successful, successful balance. And it does get frustrating, that politicians are not willing to want to reach out, to talk, to come to some sort of, not even a compromise, but just to really, like, understand science and look at, both ends of the spectrum.
Well, and speaking of that, it seems like the state is still debating the concentration level, I guess, of nitrogen in the fertilizer. And, we've had you on before. We've had, of course, Dr. Frank Rossi on before talking about these particular issues and what kind of impact it has. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. And, you hope that cooler heads prevail and that that the right thing will ultimately be done. But I guess piggybacking on what you said, given what they've already done, it seems quite likely that your hands are going to continue to be tied in the future as they pass down more legislation or attempt to.
Yeah, and you get discouraged at times, absolutely. But you still continue to forge ahead and to advocate for what you believe is right and to back it up with science and this is where really, it just segues into the golfers. Like, I can use the task assessment bill that probably many of you are aware of in New York State that's trying to be pushed, where they're trying to pass a bill that would allow local towns, villages, those jurisdictions to assess golf courses is what they would deal like a fair market value for the property versus having the tax rate that they currently have in place because it's undeveloped green space. That is a terrible bill in itself, which would affect a $6 billion industry in New York State and probably close a bunch of golf courses. But this is really where it's important to get the public involved and the golfers involved, especially in New York State, to make them aware of these issues and to, urge them to continue to, to write to the politicians, to tell them how important golf is. The Metropolitan PGA, the Met, the MGA, the New York Golf Association have done a great job, helping us out with being able to distribute this to golfers and helping to stem some of these things. So,
Tom, always a pleasure to have you on. We're just about out of time. We're up against it. But please keep up the fighting the good fight. And
he's got me energized. I'm ready to go to Albany and start shaking my fist at somebody.
Fill up your gas tanks and start driving.
Now, you know what? Yep, you got it. So, hey, we look forward to a great PGA Championship. Good luck to Andy Wilson and all his staff out there. And exciting times to come in the next 2 weeks.
Tom, thank you very much for your time this morning. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, that was Tom Kaplan, the North Hempstead Country Club superintendent. Always brings the good information in terms of what we're dealing with, what they're dealing with, and what we're all dealing with as golfers, what we're up against. People think, Tiger was great for golf, and there's a difference between being great for the game of golf and the business of golf, but we always seem to be under attack.
There are some potentially dangerous things that are coming down could cripple the industry, especially here on Long Island, and the last thing we need is to have golf courses closed because they can't afford to stay open.
Exactly. Well, that's it for this week, folks. Thanks again to our guest, Tom Kaplan.
Happy Star Wars Day.
Happy Star. May the Fourth be with you, and thank you, Steve Goldman, as always. And thank you to Trevor behind the glass. Have a great weekend, everyone.